think that that's really what God intended for us in the garden, was to just live life, you know, full throttle. But God talked about rest. We work for 6 days and then rest on the seventh. And in the Bible, rest is more than just an absence of work. Rest demonstrates where we put our trust and who we put our trust in. It's being to rest in the Lord, where we put our trust for provision, for identity, for purpose, for importance. Rest is both a regular rhythm for our day, but also for our week. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from this." And in church ministry, we like to wear our busyness like a badge of honor. We want everyone to know what we're doing and how late we were up last night and how early we had to get up. A lot of times we start our sentences with, "I have to." I have to work in the nursery, or I have to do this ladies' ministry, or I have to, and we don't say I get to when it comes to serving at church. And I just want to say that there's no greater joy, we talked about a little bit yesterday, than serving the Lord with the right heart attitude. If you're serving the Lord with the wrong reasons, you don't get that true joy. But when you serve the Lord with a right heart, it just brings so much joy and fulfillment that you're not constantly having to figure out when your next break is, when your next rest is. You're not constantly looking for a way to get out of what you're doing. But we can be busy in the Lord without being frantic or hectic. I think sometimes I'm a little whirlwind walking down the church hallway. I have, you know, my diaper bag and my purse and my Bible and two babies and, you know, my teenagers following me. And I can look a little frantic. I can look a little hectic. And it looks like I don't have time for anybody else. And when I was studying for this, the Lord really spoke to me about being busy, but not being hectic about it. Not looking like, you know, everything's about to crumble, even though it might. But about just being able to rest in the Lord. And people today are just tired. It doesn't matter what age you're talking to. It can be a teenager. It can be a senior adult. Everyone's answer is they're either busy or they're tired. We were sitting on the couch reading books the other day, and my two-year-old, she looks at me and she's like, "Mommy, I'm tired." I'm like, "Oh, poor little baby. You know, her life is so rough. She's so tired." But that's how we all feel at sometimes, is we just feel tired. And according to a national study, an estimated 50 to 70 million Americans report ongoing sleep problems. Not enough sleep, sleep at the wrong time, poor quality sleep. Sleeplessness leads to cloudy judgment and countless accidents, sometimes tragic. But also our relationships suffer without sleep and without the wrong kind of rest. I mean, without the right kind of rest. Too often, you know, I've snapped at my kids because I stayed up too late and I was tired. And, you know, you're more irritable. We make poor decisions because we're not rested. And like I said, many times we're tired because we've spent our time on things that don't matter. I've wasted my time on meaningless things and neglect the things that are actually important. And I daily strive to make my time please the Lord. I want the Lord to be pleased with what I've done. I fail so often, but thankfully the Lord's mercies are new every morning. And if you or I fail today, we can start tomorrow with a clean slate to use our time for Him. So we're going to look at three different things: physical rest, mental rest, and spiritual rest. The Sabbath was a gift of God to return to Him and find rest. It's not just rest for sleeping's sake, although sleep is very important. The point of Sabbath was to return to God, was to break away, was to take some time away from whatever you're doing and draw closer to Him. God gives us the example of physical rest in creation in Genesis 2, where God blessed that seventh day. He wants us to rest in Him, and He sanctified it. Jesus, too, slept in the Bible in Matthew 8:24. Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. So we would do well to follow God's commandment. You know, a lot of times we try to live in our own strength, and we think that we can do it and that we are strong enough and we're just going to push through. And, you know, we don't need that. But God clearly has a pattern for us to find rest as well, to alleviate just chronic weariness. My husband often reminds me that none of us are as important as we think we are. A lot of times we think, oh, well, you know, whatever's happening at church couldn't possibly function without my opinions. and I have lots of them. Or, you know, the nursery, they're just not going to have enough workers if I'm not there every week checking to make sure. Or, you know, there's so many different things, but we think that, you know, if we're not there, it's just all going to fall apart. And most of the time, that's not true. We have great ideas, but remembering our priorities is what helps us be able to rest and serve the Lord more joyfully when we're not determined to have to do everything and to have to be involved in everything. And sometimes that's pride. Sometimes, you know, maybe it's nosiness. I think I probably have a little bit of both of it. I'm just kind of interested in what's going on in all the different little places. So I'm just sticking my nose in where it doesn't really need to be. I was sharing with Danielle earlier, when my kids were younger and my husband had first started pastoring, I just felt like there were holes that needed to be filled, and I clearly was the one to fill all of those holes. So I had four small kids, and if the auditorium needed to be vacuumed, I would drag them all along, and we were just, you know, vacuuming the auditorium. I can remember one time my youngest was like 4 months old, and I had him on the backpack carrier, and I'm just vacuuming my little heart out, and I turned it off, and he was like, because he had been crying for so long, and I couldn't even hear him. I felt so bad. But I say that to say, not that any of that's wrong. Serving the Lord is amazing, but you have to make sure you're doing it with the right spirit and because the Lord wants you to do it. Just because it's happening or needs to be done doesn't mean that you're the one that's supposed to do it. And I was sharing with them that the Lord's not going to bless any of that stuff. I'm not getting a vacuuming crown in heaven because I was not doing it as unto the Lord. I was doing it as unto, you guys can do it because I'm doing it with four kids. You know, I was just showing everybody what I could do in my own strength. And I look back and I feel so bad. I mean, my kids love church and I have two here, you know, going to be in the ministry. So the Lord blessed in spite of myself. But do it for the right reason and make sure you're doing what the Lord actually wants you to do. We can't do it all. We can't get it all done. Even with 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, we have to relinquish our attempts at earning an identity through our work and rest in the identity that God provides as loved by Him and free to rest in His provision and in His care. Psalms 29:11 says, "The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with perfect peace." I always tease and tell my husband in really busy seasons, we'll just sleep and we're dead. But that's not what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to thrive and to be able to serve Him with a full cup and not an empty one. Just like Martha in the Bible, in Luke 10, we can easily prioritize and pride ourselves in our work. And she's a very real example. I'm far more like the Martha. And, you know, we're constantly showing off on social media all the things that we're doing. And our culture doesn't really celebrate resting or, you know, taking it easy or things like that. Sometimes we can be obsessed with the hustle of life and just getting things done. And it is important to just rest in the Lord. So we have a few questions, and Mrs. Chappell is going to help us through those.
Well, that's great so far. I already want to come forward. We had the privilege of getting to go to Israel, and being there for a couple of weeks allowed us to be there on Saturday, which is their Sabbath. And it was kind of fun to watch how things were so different, because in Jerusalem, we're staying at the main hotel there in Jerusalem, and when you got on the elevator, it stopped at every floor, so they didn't have to push a button. And the hotel lights went off at a certain time at night, so they didn't have to turn their lights off. The lights came on at a certain time. And so quite different from us today. So Danielle, I'm going to give you the first question, and can you tell us how we observe Sabbath today?
When Amanda was talking about taking her kids everywhere, I think I have a little bit of that personality too. And just the other day, when school started, we didn't do a very good job probably transitioning our kids from summer to school in terms of schedule. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but you know, you try to wake them up a little bit earlier the week before and kind of get them ready. And we did none of that. And so we went, you know, head first into the first week of school, and we made it through. But Camden, he actually, I feel like, was low-key emotional for like a 12-year-old boy. And he came up to me at the end of the week and he said, "Mom, I don't have a Sabbath." And I thought to myself, "You actually don't," because he had practices after school and we were going to outreach on Saturday. And I kind of forgot that I probably wasn't being the best example to him in keeping the Sabbath. And this is one thought that I've just had, and it, you know, underscores what Amanda just said. But sometimes we say we need to find time for rest. And really in scripture, God gave us the gift of rest. He just told us to keep it, to protect it. It's not something that we have to, you know, look for time necessarily in our schedule to do. We need to protect the time he has given. And just in terms of Sabbath, really the purpose primarily to find the Sabbath rest is to worship, the Lord. We do this when we do rest by reading our Bible, obviously, and maybe writing out scripture, listening to godly music, but also the ceasing of work is an act of worship, because when we observe Sabbath and take time to rest, we are acknowledging that God is in control. There will be tension, because if you're like me, you will feel like you don't have time to rest just because it's so busy, but we are supposed to feel that way, because it's a great way for us to acknowledge I cannot do all of this, and God is in control, and like Amanda said, he does not need me to do it. So I think those are the thoughts I have. The purpose of Sabbath is to worship the Lord and to cease from works, so that we, in doing that, can worship him and acknowledge him that he is in control. From there, we get perspective, renewal, refreshment, but it comes with keeping that command, keeping the Sabbath.
Great. I have one more question for this section, and Amanda, I'm going to give it to you, and it's, you know, we need to have deliberate disengagement and also deliberate engagement. So this is a two-part question, but what are some of the activities we can limit or resist when it comes to keeping a balanced schedule, and on the same time, how have you helped your family maintain a schedule of rest and renewal?
I think a really big one, we talked about it yesterday, is just avoiding time wasters. We all know what it is for us. I was reading about it online, and it says, you know, everybody says social media, which of course, you know, can suck 5 minutes into an hour without you even realizing it. But it said, you know, so can multiple trips to the grocery store or library story hours or reading or couponing or online research. Like, there's so many things that waste our time. The multiple grocery store one got me, because I go and then I'm like, oh man, I forgot whatever. And then I go back and
Instacart, Amanda.
Yes. I actually just got Walmart Plus. It's changed my life. If you haven't learned anything else, you can get that. But I think also talking about that, just about, you know, emotional rest for your family. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalms 3:3, and it says, "Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and the lifter up of my head." And I love this visual image. It's like, you know, when your little one is hurt and they're crying and they're all sad, you know, and you lift their head up with both of your hands to tell them, you know, mommy's here, I've got you, it's okay. And that's what God is for us. When we're feeling so discouraged and so tired, he's lifting up our head and he's a shield for us. The same with Matthew 11:28-30, and we're very familiar with it, but it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a promise in the Bible that we can claim, that God will give us that rest. And I think even with my family, just reminding them that we don't have to do it in our own strength, and that God will help us through whatever season that we're going through and help us find the rest that we need. Oh, that's me again. Okay, we'll look at point number two, and that is mental rest. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And when I think about mental rest, I think peace just comes to my mind. You know, the peace that passeth all understanding, regardless of what you're going through, that's what we're looking for. Even when we're busy and we have that busy season at church, or maybe at home, or maybe even with your family, we need that peace from the Lord. And it's easy to define work as something that only labors your body, but there's so much more to work than that. And as ladies, I think a lot more of what we're doing is mental. You know, we have that constant list in the back of our head, even when we're trying to listen and do something else. You know, we have the grocery and the this and the kid and the practice and the, you know, our husband and that lady, I need to make sure I find her after church. You know, our mental ability to do so many things at one time sometimes can really weigh us down. We know that even the leaders in the Old Testament rested on the Sabbath. For them, resting their minds was so needed. And a lot of times, we just feel mentally exhausted. Our brains need rest. Anxiety and depression are more likely to occur when our brains are constantly stressed out and working. That's why I was saying the ladies feel like they have the list in the back of their head. And sometimes we just need to disengage. We need to take time to do something that doesn't require intense processing, that just gives our brain the rest that we need. Culture even, you know, culture is really big on meditation and yoga, but that's their way of trying to get that mental rest. But we have prayer. We can come to the Lord. When you're stressed, sit down, close your eyes, find a quiet spot, take a few deep breaths, and talk with your Heavenly Father. Take whatever burdens that you're having to Him. It's just like the verse we were talking about, where His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Regardless of what you're going through, God wants to help you through it. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, my brethren," and we all know these, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." I feel like a lot of times we dwell on the negative. We get home from church and we're just thinking about, you know, the bad stuff that happened, the lady that wasn't there, you know, the mess that somebody made, they spilled something all over your Sunday school classroom, you know, your kid ran down the hall with a Sharpie marker, all kinds of different things. But we need to give whatever's gnawing at the back of our mind to the Lord and think on the things that are true and honest and uplifting. And stop dwelling on the things that just weigh your mind down that you can't change anyways. You can send a text to encourage the lady that wasn't there, but just thinking about it all day long and dwelling on it is not uplifting for you and is not going to bring your mind that peace. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And I feel like that's a good one for the question before, even like with social media. You know, that's definitely the carnally minded. I use social media, but I try to set those time limits, actually the ones that your phone let you set for you, because, you know, we all need limits. Set your limit and then don't push 5 more minutes. Like, let it be done. Don't be carnally minded. You want that peace. You need to dwell on the spiritual things. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." So that verse to me means that whatever you're going through, and we're all going through something different, maybe it's sickness, you know, maybe it's marital struggles, maybe it's something with a wayward child, but God can give us that peace, that mental rest that doesn't make sense to anybody else. That when they see you, they don't understand how you can be calm and trusting in the Lord, because, you know, everything around you is falling apart, but God wants to give you that peace. Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord wants to give us mental rest as much as He does physical. Constantly worrying or trying to control the situations around you will wear you down.
Great. Okay. You know, I was thinking when she was talking, we use that catchphrase 24/7. You know how we say that all the time? And sometimes I have said my mind is going 24/7, and we might need to revise that to be 24/6.
Yes.
So we're not doing it all the time. Susan, I wanted to ask you, in what ways do we experience emotional fatigue?
I have two. Yeah. Can you hear me really well? Laugh about things, okay? Just laugh at yourself. Well, I love the verse that says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." Because, you know, our minds can spin, like she was talking about. And a lot of times they're thinking about actions that happen, but sometimes we're assuming things. Why did she say that? Why did he do that? You know, and we're assuming the worst, and we're letting our minds affect our spirit. And I remember one time reading in the Reader's Digest, it says, "Whatever you're assuming, you're probably wrong." So if you're assuming that lady, something's wrong with her because she didn't speak to me this morning, well, what did I do or what did I say? And all of that, and that is emotionally affecting you. Remember what you're assuming. You're probably wrong. "And in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." And at night when you lie down, a lot of times I will quote the verse to myself, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." And a lot of times at night, too, if I have a lot on my mind or I can't sleep, I'll go through the alphabet. I think I've said this before, but go through the alphabet trying to say a verse that starts with A, ask, and it should be given you. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I might not can say the whole verse, but or the reference, but at least I'm saying those verses. Call on the name of the Lord and get there. And I rarely ever make it to Z. It's a good thing because I don't know any verses that start with a Z. But that really helps me a lot with that. And, of course, too, with our mind so busy and that emotional stress, sometimes it just brings us to the end of ourselves, is get it off of your mind. So whatever you need to do, keep a running list, a running to-do list, keep a running grocery list that you're writing down, keep a running list of people you need to visit or a running list of people you need to call, so you're not having to keep all these things on your mind. It's somewhere, something you're going to need to do and you're going to look at it later. But don't overload your mind, because we do need to keep that emotional stress away. And then, of course, Brother Paulie preached a great message last night on the Holy Spirit. And I'm reading a book right now by A.W. Tozier, The Mystery of the Holy Spirit, that's really been very helpful. And in there, it reminded me of when Noah sent the raven out of the ark. We all know the story, that the raven did not come back, because ravens like to eat decomposed bodies that were everywhere. They like to eat trash that was everywhere. They like to eat the filth of this world. So he didn't come back. But when Noah sent the dove out, which is representative of the Holy Spirit, you know how the dove came down and lit on Jesus when he was getting baptized, that was representative of the Holy Spirit. When the dove went out, he came back, because the dove, the Holy Spirit, does not want to partake of the wickedness of this world or the filth of this world, and how important it is that we purify our hearts. So if we want to have good emotional health, really it's the Holy Spirit that is going to help us and make sure our hearts are pure before Him. And each day when we wake up, say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What is on your to-do list for me today? And just relying on the Holy Spirit. Brother Tim Rasmussen just gave a great sermon on living a pure life. And, you know, Pastor Chappell said, men, this is for you. But you know what, women, it's for us, too. We have to fight our thought life. And there's a lot out there that we see on Instagram. And I've heard more rock music by looking at Instagram stories than I would ever want to listen to. So, you know, I make sure my volume is down, so that if anybody is in my house listening to me listening to Instagram, they won't think I'm listening to rock music. I mean, you know, it's just convicting to think what we might let in our life and in our mind and in our heart. So we just really need to walk guard if we want to be emotionally strong for the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit fill us and really help us.
Okay, this question is going to be for all three, but it's quick. It's not, I'm going to ask, to be that emotionally recharged, what are some physical things, maybe hobbies or activities that we can do that would, you know, help in that area, that gets our mind focused away from the stressors of our life? Amanda, we'll go.
Okay, mine would just be to participate in some sort of regular physical activity. Sorry.
You should be. That's why I'm asking everybody.
You should be doing something. It doesn't have to be, you know, like a full-on gym membership, but even if all you can do is go out and walk. I've even read, you know, where they talk about parking at the back of the parking lot to walk forward, or taking the stairs instead of the elevator. There's lots of things you can do to move your body. In the Bible days, they were an agricultural society. They worked and moved all day long. We're sedentary. You know, we sit at desks, or, you know, we just have a lot more downtime. And I think just personally, it sounds terrible, exercise. It just sounds terrible. But when you do it, it releases endorphins. And honestly, it just makes you feel better about life and about, you know, all kinds of different things. So I just encourage you to do something physical. Find what you like and just do it. Schedule it. Do it. Don't just think about it.
Well, something I'm enjoying right now is that my daughters and I are reading a book together. And I have one daughter who lives in Thailand and one who lives in North Carolina. And but we, with social media, it helps us get together and we talk about it. We read a chapter together separately, and then we get together and talk about it and make notes and so forth. We've been reading Finding Your People by Jeannie Allen. If you haven't read that, it's really good. I'm enjoying that. I have a student who does Wednesdays in the Word, and she always sends me a verse that means something to her, and then I'm supposed to send something back to her. So I really enjoy that from my scripture reading on Wednesday morning. This morning I thought, oh, I've got to reply to Michelle. but I really enjoyed that and just getting my mind on the Word of God. And then she mentioned exercise that we don't want to do, but we do want to have intimate relations with our husband. And you know what? When we do that, it releases hormones in our body that reduce stress. It lowers our blood pressure. It helps our immune system when we have sexual relations. It helps our heart health. It improves our self-esteem. It decreases depression and anxiety. It is immediate natural pain relief. We have better sleep. Overall, it's a stress reduction, both physiologically and emotionally. So go get 'em, Tiger.
Okay. So... my mind went a totally different direction with this question, and it's the opposite of what you both said, and I need to move on. What was I going to say? Be still. Okay, so for me to recharge mentally, I physical activity is so great. The one thought that did come to my mind is because I probably have mentioned this before, and if you've, you know, like personality tests or the Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram 1, and our brain doesn't turn off. I read in a book that that sometimes it's like having two high school cheerleaders arguing in your head all the time and it doesn't stop, and that is really how I feel sometimes. So for me to recharge, just to be still, and you know, sometimes we have a to-do list that we just, you know, have like a dump of like everything that we need to write down to do. I will sometimes do that with what I'm struggling with emotionally, like just so I can identify it and then give that to the Lord. Like, this is kind of what's bothering me. Give it to the Lord and just have a moment of stillness where I can surrender that to Him and just intentionally turn my thoughts to the Lord and surrender those to Him before I go on with, you know, daily life or whatever.
Good. And Danielle, do you have anything that you want to add about having on this area of perspective on rest and serving?
I think we're going to maybe talk a little bit more about this so it can segue into what Amanda maybe is going to say here in a minute. But rest and serving, and even mentally, sometimes I get where if it's a busy season, I kind of escape mentally thinking, okay, in 1 week I get to sleep. You know, 1 week I'm going to rest, or in 1 week we're having a family day. And that is good to look forward to those times. But one thing that I've been learning recently and been reminded of is that rest isn't necessarily the end goal. Rest is a gift. It's meant to refuel us so that we can fulfill our God-given purposes. And that has been such a mental shift for me, because sometimes I serve the Lord, but I'm like, kind of motivated by the rest that's going to come, instead of letting the rest refuel me so I can be motivated to serve the Lord. So that's just been a mental shift. And you mentioned the verse in Matthew about, come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. So God gives us both and then lets us balance that.
Okay, so the third thing we're going to look at is spiritual rest. And a lot of times spiritual rest is often the first form of rest that we forget or we cut out. And we know, all the ladies in here, how important it is. Nothing should trump our personal relationship with God. David explains this in Psalms 27:4 when he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And the one thing that we should desire more than anything else is just to be with God, to be able to spend time with Him. Think about it just for a moment. When you get really busy in life, when you have like that big conference or project, what is the first thing that you let slide? Is it your prayer time? Is it your day in the Word? You're so busy spending, you know, serving God that you can't talk to Him. You know, like when I think about that, like in our personal relationship, like if I were doing something for my husband and, you know, like I'm so busy doing it for him that I have no time for his input or his, you know, actually desire for what he wants me to do. And we can see that easily in our personal relationships, but when it comes to God, a lot of times that's the first thing that we're like, oh, we'll get it tomorrow, or I'm going to hear three sessions today. You know, I don't actually, I'll just, you know, I'll get it from there. And we let that time go. I read a quote from Adrian Rogers, which I was telling Christine, I'm going to put on a plaque in my room that says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And I thought, that is true. You know, we just get so busy. We're not bad. We're not doing wrong things, but we're not doing the right things, not the things that God has personally called us to. And the enemy, the devil, is trying to tear you away from God by filling your life with things that are really not that important. And when we get busy, we just need to remember not to neglect that time with the Lord. Don't push aside that spiritual rest and time with him. Psalms 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's where I want to abide. That's where I want to live. I want to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 46:10, the beginning part, be still and know that I am God. And I struggle with being still. And if you have little ones, you know how that is. Sometimes there's not actually any safe space. A prayer closet doesn't even matter because they'll find you. But, you know, just taking time and being still. Practice abiding in the presence of God all day long. God doesn't want just a 30-minute appointment with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be with you in the good and the bad and help you through it. And it's a lot harder to do than just being like, read my Bible, check, you know, done with that for today. He wants to be a part of every part of our life.
Great. Danielle, I hear the term a lot about rhythms. Can you share anything about daily rhythms that can be helpful to us?
Piggybacking on what Amanda was talking about with spiritual rest, that sometimes habits and rhythms can help us find that balance and help keep us on track. And so I read earlier this summer just about spiritual rhythms and habits that help support a healthy spiritual rest-filled life. And so these aren't necessarily unique to me, but a couple of ideas that were listed in that book. One was to pray specifically morning, noon, and night. We see that pattern in scripture. But to maybe even set an alarm and close the doors if you're at an office, or just create a space where you just spend a short time intentionally praying, either on your knees or facing a window, to change your posture. Do something to pray, to facilitate prayer morning, noon, and night, just to kind of get you reconnected and, again, your mind focused back on the Lord. Another idea was to plan a weekly meal with someone who encourages you spiritually. So just make that a priority in your life, that you'll get together with someone who can speak life to you, speak scripture to you, and encourage you spiritually. Another rhythm or habit routine you can implement is to turn your phone off an hour a day. We've talked about that, but just completely turn it off. The whole family turns it off maybe for 1 hour a day. And then the other idea was to have a weekly fast where one day a week you choose one thing that you will fast, not maybe necessarily food, but just pick something that you will fast, that will be a reminder to you to pray and to really invest in your walk with the Lord. And those things can potentially be helpful in renewing your spiritual life and getting spiritual rest.
Good. Susa, do you have anything to add to that? Okay, well, I want to ask Amanda if you have any closing thoughts that maybe we didn't answer in our questions that you want to share, and then would you close us in prayer?
Yes. I think just one more practical thing is just set boundaries for yourself and for your families to be able to have that right rhythm and that right rest. Early in our marriage, we set different boundaries for things that seem silly, but like going to parties, you know, like the Tupperware party or the this party or the that party. At the very beginning, my husband was like, no parties. And I'm like, thank you. So then I just be like, I'm so sorry. I don't do parties. If you give me your book, I'll order something. But, you know, it's just a small thing, but set boundaries, because if you don't, when something comes up, you're going to be like, oh, sure, I'll do it, you know. But if you know that that's something that you've talked about, or if your husband or maybe your boss or whoever has told you you have enough, you know, don't take anything more, just listen to that and set boundaries. That way you can experience that rest. So thank you all so much for listening. I know this is a hard room to focus in, but y'all have been great. So let's pray and then we'll eat lunch. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today and thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. I thank you for each and every lady in this room. I thank you for their heart for you and their heart to serve and to please you. Lord, I pray you be with each of us as we strive to please you in our walk with you. Lord, I pray that you help us all find the right kind of rest and renewal. Lord, help us to serve you with joy and with that peace that passeth all understanding. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.